those, Lord, that are not feeling well. I thank you so much for that we have freedom, Lord, to come and worship you together, to lift our hands and to glorify your name. I thank you, Lord, for every word that is sung tonight, every word that is spoken. I pray, God, that you will move in your people tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your mercies, your strength, and for your goodness. You are a good God. I pray that you will move in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Has he been good to you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sing this. Most of you probably know this song, if you wouldn't mind joining us.
Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy draws me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise, pour out a song from my heart. And you are good.
You are good.
Your goodness is forever. Lord, Your mercy is forever. Is forever.
It's forever. Your goodness is forever.
Your mercy is forever. Forever. Every day I'll awaken my praise, pour out a song from my heart.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, for your kindness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And as you are more than well aware, the offering plate is in the back, and you guys can greet each other in Jesus' name.
Nothing I like better when God's children get together. It feels so good just being here again. It feels so good just being here again. It feels so good feeling what I feel again. There's just nothing I like better. God's children get together. Feels so good just being here again. It feels so good just being here again. It feels so good feeling what I feel again. There's just nothing I like better than God's children get together. Feels so good just being here again. It feels so good just being here again. It feels so good feeling what I feel again. There's just nothing I like better than when God's children get together. Feels so good just being here again. It feels so good just being here again. It feels so good
feeling what I feel again.
There's just nothing I like better than when God's children get together. It feels so good just being here again.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are going to take some knees to the Lord in prayer. As you would remember, Brother Spencer's grandfather had an accident early in the week and broke leg at the knee joint, I believe, in a lot of pain, and has surgery scheduled for next week. So I'll let you remember Brother Spencer's grandfather in prayer. And also, please remember Brother Bill Kellerman prayer going in for some more testing tomorrow. They've been battling the stomach bug between Sister Kellum and Ethan, and so they're not able to be here tonight. And then also Sister Christy asked that we would remember her father in prayer, the need there. And if you have a need, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you and you can let me know. All right. All right. Sister Angie. All right. All right, certainly. Pray for Brother Damron, a fine young man from this church, and looking for God to open some doors in the employment area. And so we certainly want to pray to that effect. So certainly a very worthy request. Anybody else? All right. Why don't we stand? And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful for another opportunity to be here in your presence, Lord, to lift you up, to magnify you, Lord, to look into your word, to learn of you, God, to see the way in which you work in our hearts and lives, God. Explore, God, the depths, God, of wonderful, how wonderful you are. God, I thank you for this opportunity to come together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, God, to make these needs known unto you one another, God. You already know what we have need of before we ask or even think it, Lord, but we vocalize the need, God, with faith and anticipation of your work and the situation they're in. Lord, we pray for Brother Bill Kellum. God, we continue to lift him up before you, Lord, that they would be able to find answers to his situation. Lord, we ultimately know that you are the great physician with the power to heal, Lord. So we place him in your almighty hands for your will to be done, God, for you to work out the situation, Lord, for little Ethan, Sister D, God, as they battle through the stomach bug, others, Lord, that are affected here. Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon them to help them, to strengthen them. For Sister Christie's father, God, the situation there, Lord, you're able to help raise up, God, to strengthen, Lord, to enlighten, God, what is necessary in the heart and life, Lord, for Brother Spencer's grandfather, Lord. We lift him up before you in prayer, believing and trusting in your power, God, for those that have special unspoken needs, Lord, that have not vocalized, Lord, but you know. And we ask you, Lord, to work and to move. God, we thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you, Lord. We magnify you. We praise your precious name. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. Jesus, in your precious name. Jesus, in your precious name. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands? He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do you want to make you aware that this coming Sunday morning, regularly scheduled service Sunday morning, Sunday school lesson, and then our worship evangelistic service at 11. And then Sunday night, we are continuing in our split sessions. And we got some great feedback in reference to the first meetings, men and women. And so we just encourage you to come. And we have something going on for the men. We have something going on for the women. And we have something going on for the children. So in those three different sessions, we are seeking to minister to those three different demographics, if you will, specifically. And so the material obviously is oriented towards that. And so we want you to come and be. It's an opportunity to get involved. It's an opportunity to share, if you're a sister, with other sisters, and a brother with other brothers. And so we encourage this, and we're thankful that we are given this opportunity, if you will, and for the involvement therein. And so we encourage you to get involved in that on Sunday nights. We are continuing in our study, and hopefully you're able. Hey, there we are. Faith, reason, and truth. And I, as I've stated many times, I realize that this is kind of probably one of those areas of study. Either you love it or you don't like it so much. But either way, I hope that you are gleaming from it. I hope that you are able to get some of the meat of the material, if you will, in understanding ways in which science and the Bible are compatible. And it's not, it's kind of somewhat progressed, if you will. It's not just about how they're compatible, but how that, according to Romans 1:20, we can understand the invisible things by visible things. How that science, and the more I get into it, the more I hopefully that you're seeing and understanding. Even recent discoveries are enlightening us, if you will, as humanity in things that years before they didn't know. And it's in that enlightenment, while other people may try to steer that other ways and try to look at it with other explanations, we, because of spiritual reasoning, we, because we believe that God is God and that is an objective truth and that he is the origin of all things, When we look at these things, it helps us to understand how and the way in which these things work. And if you're like me, I'm the type of person that I do like to study different things, and I do like different views, if you will. And sometimes I'll even, and please understand where I'm coming from this, sometimes I will even venture out into subjects that I know are going to challenge what I think, that are going to cause me to do a deep dive into what I've held as a belief, if you will, or as a source of knowledge, and not in any way, shape, or form to contradict my upbringing or my teaching, but to challenge me to understand, to give an answer, the Bible says, for the reason of the hope that is in me. And in many ways in the study, it has done just that. It has challenged me to the point where I've come to understand more about my relationship with God, more about my relationship with His creation, more about me as an individual, not only in a physical nature, but certainly in a spiritual nature. And it's also helped me understand maybe some things that are yet to come in the sense of hereafter, in the sense of eternity. And so we're going to venture out a little bit tonight, and the subject of the topic tonight is prayer. Instantaneous communication. Prayer. Instantaneous communication. As I read through this chapter in the book and other chapters as support for this, it began to open my mind, and I began to understand just, and I realize that for some denominations, even for some people, prayer is a more of a tradition. It's kind of something that they just do because you're supposed to do it. And I'm, please understand, I'm no way, shape, or form demeaning the discipline or the practice of prayer. I think that is a wonderful thing. Prayer is something that we should all do more of. But in understanding truly what prayer is, many times we think of prayer as just being that vocal aspect of getting down on a knee or kneeling beside the bed or before bedtime, saying our prayers, or the thing we do is we bow our head before our meals. And while I don't in any way, shape, or form discredit those things, prayer is so much more than that. And even when you look at, and I know, just stay with me for a minute. Even when you look at and you study some of the other religions of the world, and those that participate in mysticism and meditation, and even in a scientific realm, they are finding where these practices and these behaviors from an anatomical and physiological standpoint are beneficial. Well, stay with me. I'm not falling off the wagon. Just stay with me. But when it comes to you and I, who believe that the origin of all things is God, and that we have that as an objective truth, that is the beginning of all knowledge, if you will. And from that, we develop a walk in relationship with God. There is a greater understanding as to just what prayer is. And I hope that I'm able to show you that tonight in our study. I want you to look at this quote. It's by Albert. I think my battery may be dead. Can you help me with that? Oh, there we are. Quantum entanglement is spooky action at a distance. You say, oh man, there you go, Pastor, using that big word quantum again. Are we really going to get into all that stuff again? Yes, we are. Stay with me. Quantum entanglement is spooky action at a distance. Now, for individuals on the outside looking in who maybe look at what we do, there's actually extra battery in there. I'm not sure which one is good or not good. When it comes to something like prayer, when it comes to something that other people would say, well, that's a kind of a mystical thing. And while they may ascribe to it in practicality, yeah, you should pray, the understanding of what prayer is and how prayer works, well, that just is really no quantifiable explanation for how all that stuff works. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to have that discipline. It's a good thing if you pray. It's a good thing for you and I to have the practice and the discipline and the behavior of prayer.
But from the outside looking in, now many of us, I understand we're maybe raised in this or we've been around this our whole life, but for people on the outside that are viewing what you and I do, in the sense of something as simple as praying, a lot of denominations, a lot, and I'm not demeaning them, but they don't even understand the concept of audible prayer, in the sense of coming together and voicing, and it's something that is maybe even done in a repetitive nature as the leader recites a word and then the congregation repeats, and I've been in those type settings as well. But for you and I who believe in prayer as something that connects us to God, stay with me. Not something that's just tradition, not something that's just we do because it's expected of us as Christians and as believers, we're expected to pray, but something that really is quantifiable, if you will, or even understood by visible things. Stay with me. You may be asking yourself, so is Pastor going to scientifically explain prayer? Maybe. Maybe I can help us understand just how this prayer stuff works. Let's look at a couple scriptures. John chapter number 10, verse number 27. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The psalmist had this to say about the voice of the Lord. "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." Now, often when we see that phrase and we speak in reference to the voice of God, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," we often think of this in something that is audible, something that that we understand is verbal communication, if you will. It our auditory senses are used, and someone speaks and we hear. And so a lot of times when we reference the voice of something or the voice of God, or We do it in the sense of understanding that it's words that I can hear or that somehow resonate within me. I there's some kind of connection, if you will, to hearing the voice of God. Understood? And so we can understand that according to Scripture. We see Scripture such as this that helps us. Remember, there's a big word, anthropomorphism, which basically gives human attributes to something that is non-human. It's like saying the eyes of the Lord. God is a spirit, and so he doesn't have eyes. But the scripture uses the phrase, the eyes of the Lord, in order for you and I to be able to somewhat conceptualize or understand the way God works. Right? Ear of the Lord, or the hand of the Lord, or the voice of the Lord. So all these things, that big word anthropomorphism, which gives those human-like attributes to something that is non-human, we see that all throughout scripture. Right? It's there. We understand it. We compare it to what we do in the physical. The eyes of the Lord, we compare it with our own eyes and what we see and how we look. Hand of the Lord, we compare it with our own hand, so on and so forth. And I don't mean to belabor the point, but as we read the Bible and we see those phrases, that's what conceptually we understand. Make sense? So let's talk about this communication. Let's talk about interactions. And here, I'm going to ask some questions. What are some of the many ways we interact or communicate with each other? Anybody? Brother Al. Verbally. We talk. Body language. Say the majority of many times of our communication is nonverbal. It's body language or it's facial expressions. What else? Social media. Written. All these different ways that we communicate. And when I talk about the subject of instantaneous communication, I'm not talking about that look you instantly get from your spouse when you say something you shouldn't say. That's not what I mean. But we interact, and there's connection with one another, and sometimes it's verbal communication, other times it's nonverbal communication. Sometimes it's written communication. Those that have sign language, there is language that they are able to speak or communicate in reference to signs. Right? times if you're in a foreign place, you're trying to communicate with someone who is not of your same language, there's a lot of pointing and grunting and other things that are involved, trying to somehow explain or make some connection between what we're trying to communicate one to another. So here's a follow-up question, which you may or may not know the answer to. I didn't, so I don't expect you to. Are these interactions local, non-local, or both? Now we're going to go Star Trek-y on you a little bit. Are these interactions, are these forms of communication, are they local? Are they non-local? Are they both? You say, well, if I'm making a long-distance telephone call, that's not local by definition. Yeah? Well, let's ask the question first. How many of you think that the ways in which we communicate, that we've gone over, we talked about verbally, non-verbally, you know, gestures, body language, how many of you think that those things are local? Okay? How many of you think they're non-local? Two. How many of you have no idea, so you're going to go with both? That's what I thought. What's that? Still going with both. Is it local? Is it non-local? Or is it both? Well, let's do that, Brother Al. Let's define what these things are. Now, understand, this is scientifically speaking, okay? This is not based upon a telephone bill, which you really don't have that much anymore, especially now with cell phones. I mean, how many of you are paying long-distance charges now? That's what I thought. Anyhow, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about local versus non-local. What does it mean to be local or have local interaction communication? Any action that breaks down into a chain of local physical events is called local interactions. Anything that breaks down into a chain of events is called local interactions. Local interaction is where a chain of causes and effects connects the two. For example, you say something nice to your spouse and they smile, or you say something mean and they scowl. Whether this is done in proximity to one another or over the phone miles away, this is still considered, scientifically speaking, it's still considered local communication. Local interaction. There is a chain of interaction. There's causes and effect that lead. Even those that are speaking to in Houston, that are speaking to those in the space station, even though they are miles apart from one another, and there's a lag of time based upon the electrical components and all the things that have to connect in order for them to be able to speak. It's still because there is a chain of connection, if you will. It's still considered local communication. Stay with me. It's going somewhere. Where no chain of local physical events between two separated objects is known, or is known, yet interaction occurs, is referred to as non-local interaction or non-local communication, where there is no chain. In other words, there's nothing quantifiable, there's nothing identifiable that connects the two, but somehow they are connected. Somehow there is communication from one to the other, but there's no cause and effect. There's no chain of identifiable events, if you will, that correlate and cause them to be able to communicate, yet they do. This is where we get weird. This is the part of the show where you want to pay close attention, because it gets a little bit, whew, in a galaxy far, far away a long time ago. This non-local communication, this non-local interaction where there is no identifiable chain of events, is something that early science thought was absolutely impossible. You can't have non-local interaction or non-local communication, because by definition there has to be a connection. Early science held that non-local interaction or communication could not exist. The speed of light and the speed of sound were known quantities, and therefore communication or interaction remained within those confines through local interaction. In other words, even though you speak, there is a speed of sound. Anybody know the speed of sound, just for record? Anybody really smart? You know what the speed of sound is? Anybody want to guess? guess what the speed of sound is? It's a caveat. It's at 68 degrees, just so you know. The degrees matter. I didn't know that till today, but it does. Anybody have an idea? Want to guess? You want to interact at all with some local communication? Interaction? Anybody? No? I guess don't Google it. You can, from previous lessons. Anybody? Come on. Somebody? Anybody? I can stay here all night. What? Speed of sound, approximately. 1,800 feet per second. Okay? Anybody else? Let's do it in miles per hour. It may translate, I don't know, I don't have time to do that math. Anybody guess one? How many miles per hour the speed of sound is? What's Mach? You know what Mach is? Mach is the speed of sound, right? You got that? Anybody know that? What's that? Mach 1? Not a razor? Might have been a razor. Okay. The suspense is killing you, I can tell. Everybody wants to know what the speed of sound is. The speed of sound is 767.7 miles per hour. That's the speed of sound. It is a quantity, it is a known quantity, just as the speed of light. Sister Man, if you went back in your notes, you would be able to tell us what the speed of light is. It's a known quantity. It's measurable. It's observable. They can identify it. And so early science simply said, well, communication or interaction has to remain within the confines of either the speed of sound or the speed of light. All these things that make up the laws of the universe, if you will, all these things identify that it must be local interaction or communication. Have I suspended it enough? Non-local communication was too, here it is, unearthly. Outside the realm and laws of the universe, even Einstein would struggle with recent discoveries were he still alive. Because even Einstein described gravity and its effects. He started talking about this stuff that he thought was out there, but he couldn't identify. And he said it was spooky. He used a German word that means ghostly or mystical. This action that happens at a distance. In comes this bizarre phenomenon called quantum entanglement. Here we go. Y'all ready to go down the rabbit hole with me? Quantum entanglement, the spooky action at a distance that would have Einstein scratching his head. Identify, he said, there's something there. Explain it. Know what it is? It's spooky, it's mystical, it's ghostly. There is some type of interaction that exists. But even Einstein would struggle with the recent discoveries. Because in labs all over the world, this quantum entanglement is being demonstrated. Quantum particles that are separated at birth maintain some kind of spooky, instantaneous form of non-local communication. You want to really just wow your mind? Go on the internet tonight and type in quantum entanglement and watch some of the YouTube videos. I did. The ad at the end, they tried to sell me some accounting software, which is kind of bizarre. But quantum entanglement, this new discovery, if you will, in the world of physics, this quantum mechanics where they come up with this thing called quantum entanglement. And here's the thing. It's no longer a theory, guys. It's being demonstrated. Particles are somehow, and they cannot explain it, these particles are somehow quantumly entangled. They are connected, and it doesn't matter how far they separate them. This is the crazy thing. It doesn't matter how far they separate them, they are instantaneously connected. July 2017, not even a year ago. Can you figure that out? Not even a year ago. I didn't mean to be be demeaning. My wife looked at me like, you did not. I did. I'm sorry, babe. Headline in Life Science. Chinese scientists just set the record for the furthest quantum teleportation. Man, if y'all thought I was gone, you're really going to think I'm gone tonight. Quantum teleportation. What they did is they took these particles that were connected at birth and they separated them. And they put one into a satellite. They beamed it to a satellite. How they did all this, I don't know. I read the article and it quickly just started getting all like... But this is observable. They are doing this right now. And there are millions upon millions of dollars that are being invested in quantum entanglement because its security is second to none. It is so secure. It is far superior than any encrypted message you could ever send, because the moment a particle is observed in quantum entanglement, its other particle immediately, instantaneously, once it is observed, the other particle, no matter how far apart away it is, this will blow your mind, immediately responds. Scientist that was interviewed, the Chinese scientist, said this, and this is what would blow Einstein's mind. He says it indicates that this instantaneous communication happens faster than the speed of light. 10 times faster than the speed of light. It's instantaneous. I'm going to show you an excerpt from the article, just so you understand. But before we get there, here it is. The experiment takes advantage of one of the several phenomena that describes quantum mechanics, entanglement, or spooky action at a distance, as Albert Einstein called it. When the two particles are entangled, they remain connected so that an action performed on one affects the other as well, no matter how far apart the two are. Particles, no matter how far apart they are, immediately, instantaneous, there's a correlation. Look at the rest. In the same vein, when one measures the state of one particle in the entangled duo, you'd automatically know the state of the second. Instantaneous. If you observe the photon and it is spinning in a clockwise direction, the moment you observe it, the moment, and they've tested this and they can observe it. The moment that you observe this photon, let's call photon A and photon B. They were connected, but now they're separated. Photon A and photon B. The moment that you observe photon A spinning in a clockwise direction, photon B spins in a counterclockwise direction. It's observable. They can see it. They are finding ways to demonstrate it where the human eye can perceive. You don't believe me, I can tell. Go look it up. The weird part is that once the state of the first particle is measured, the second somehow knows what state it should be in. Somehow. This photon A observed over here, light years away from photon B. The moment photon A is observed, B knows that it's been observed, and it responds accordingly, instantaneously. The information seems to travel instantaneously without a speed of light limit. Instantaneous. What does that mean? You have a question? So do I, many. That is a great question. I don't know. look it up. All I know is that they're observing it. All I know is that they have experiments. It's being demonstrated in labs all over the world. It is observable, and it is becoming known. Even those that have tried for years to dispel are coming to the understanding, yep, quantum entanglement is real. That spooky, mystical, ghostly action at a distance that Albert Einstein theorized existed does. But the way in which it exists would blow even his mind. Because he thought it would have to exist within the confounds of the speed of light. But they're finding that that's not the case. Here's the effect. What does this mean to you and me? How in the world does all this correlate with prayer? How can you and I understand the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, being clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and God, according to Romans 1:20. So how do we look at quantum entanglement to know that things that were connected at birth, if you will, or at the beginning, things that were connected at the beginning, once separated, are still quantumly entangled? Some of y'all smile because you know where I'm going. Things that were connected at the beginning are still quantumly entangled so that communication can exist instantly. There is instantaneous communication on a quantum level wherein particles were connected no matter how far the current separation. It doesn't matter how far they are currently separate one from another. If they were connected at their birth, they stay quantumly entangled. Somehow, though there's miles of separation, they can't explain it. They're trying in all their ways to identify it and harness it, but every time they observe it, it changes. Genesis 2:7. God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 9:6. For in the image of God made he man. You're going to start seeing it here in a minute. At the beginning, when God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became distinct and separate from all other creatures, in that man became a living soul. Man was the only man, if you will, made in the image of God. The beginning. The Genesis. The start of all humanity. The objective truth that you and I hold and believe, that God is the origin of all things. In the beginning, God. He created man. There was time. Reading the book of Genesis, we don't know exactly what this looked like or how this worked. We can only conceptualize it in our understanding. The Bible says the Lord walked with them in the cool of the garden. Think about this. So is it possible, in whatever form that was, in whatever way that transpired, God, who has always been eternal God, outside of space and time, God who is light, who is past, present, and future, all at the same time. Remember the last studies? This same God is now, after he has created man, who has a beginning, but who is made in the image of God, God is now having interaction with. Dare we say, local interaction. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, we understand what happens. God comes to walk in the cool of garden. Adam, where art thou? know. We say it. We illustrate according to the Bible. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. Man who was before that time immortal and incorruptible becomes mortal and corruptible. In the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Not only was there a spiritual death or a separation because of sin, the physical dying process began to take place. Right? So we know that according to the Word of God. But let's not forget the beginning. Because in science, we understand right now, it's observable, that once things are entangled at a quantum level, they always remain entangled.
Oh, my goodness.
So though sin separated, it could not. We were made in the very image of God. It could not, it cannot separate communication. This is why it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far they are. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter how far they backslid. It doesn't matter in what present state they are. It doesn't matter what the separation seems like. If you will find he's not very far from any one of us. Why? Because we're quantumly entangled from the very beginning. We were made in the image of God. And when I pray, it's not just reciting words. There is an instantaneous communication or interaction with the origin of all things. Do I not understand that when I pray, I am entering into a realm that science has no explanation for? When I get on my knees, I don't even have to be on my knees. I don't even have to vocalize it. No matter how far someone is from God, we are still connected, and there is instantaneous communication. What the psalmist said. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. How? How can we understand? How can we somehow conceptualize the omnipresence of God, that his voice is everywhere at all times? How can we understand that when we're in prayer, that sometimes there's a feeling and sometimes there's not? But we know somehow faith somehow propels us to the understanding that there is still communication taking place. We can say with confidence that God is entangled with us in the most molecular way. And so, yes, we can hear his voice, a voice that is connected to us inside and everywhere, all at the same time. Instantaneous communication. Science can observe it. Science can see it. They don't understand it. Want to try to harness the power of it? Right now, quantum computers are trying to be manufactured, because if they can manufacture a quantum computer where there is instantaneous communication, no matter how far apart. How do you remember the days of AOL dial-up? Remember, you type in the number, you hit the modem, and you hear that modem do that handshake thing, and you start doing all that stuff. About 30 seconds later, you get that little man to be running across the screen. You are connected. Yes. Now I can send my instant message. A couple seconds later, they'll reply. You can and have this conversation that in a personal way would take 5 minutes and we could stretch it into an hour. Both waste our time. Then he got faster, faster. Now, I mean, cable to fiber optic to Wi-Fi. And it's like, it's almost, what do you think? They're able to harness the power of instant communication. No lag time, no upload time, no download time. Instant. No matter how far apart they are, instant. Bam. Yet they think we're crazy because we believe in prayer. When it comes to what God has and what has been from the beginning, Moses had instant communication. He spoke to a burning bush faster than any download speed. Instant. Communicate. Yet we somehow find a lot more time to be on social media. Ooh, man, it can get tight in here for a few minutes. It's somehow more relevant to our lives. It's somehow more important to us to find out who's doing what in their lives, to connect on a local level with other individuals. And I'm not demeaning all that. I get it. Understand that in large part we are therefore forfeiting instantaneous communication. The one who created all things. With the one who is the origin. You and I. Every individual. Catch this. If we believe that we are made in the image of God, every individual is connected to God, even in a molecular way. Jesus said, my sheep and my voice. Say in a rookery, didn't know that word till today, a rookery of northern fur seals. Say that in a rookery, which includes tens of thousands of seals, when a mother comes back from the ocean with food for the pup, the mother makes its way upon shore, though there is a cacophony of noises. They say that in comparison, if you were ever to be in a rookery of northern fur seals, it'd be deafening. Many times the decibel level of Union Station in New York City at rush hour. This rookery of northern fur seals. The moment the mother makes her way onto her ears are able to pick up all of the voices, she can, in that instant, identify the voice of her pup. Is a connection. There's tens of thousands of other pups making similar noises. The mom is able to identify hers and bring the food to her pup. So you're saying that prayer has something to do with northern fur seals? What I'm saying is that we understand invisible things by visible things. And that you and I have the opportunity for instantaneous communication with the Creator of all things. And that prayer is more than just a religious discipline. And prayer is more than just you and I getting on our knees before we go to bed, or when we wake up in the morning, or before our meals, or what we do when it's expected of us to come to the altar and pray, or when we have certain prayer meetings. The song was right. He is as close as the mention of his name. Closer, in fact, He's connected to us from the very beginning. Prayer is instantaneous communication with a God with whom we are intimately connected. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I've heard the stories of individuals being miles away. Exact moment in time. Heard stories of mothers who had sons at war, and exact moment they would wake up and begin to pray for their son. Find out later, correlate the times, and realize that at that point in time, their son was in a life or death situation. Science can't explain all that. I'm not trying to take your spirituality and measure it. That's not what I'm trying to do. Please understand. I'm not trying to take some of these things that I realize are faith-based. I realize come from spiritual reasoning. What I'm trying to help us understand is that the Bible tells us that we can understand these invisible things by visible things. That we can observe that the Bible is true. That there is instantaneous communication in the physical world. There is no doubt. Get that. It's observable. They see it. So why in the world would I ever think that prayer would not be far superior to whatever is available in the physical realm? There is something available in the spiritual realm. And that I can have instantaneous communication. I don't have to go through some process. There ain't no connection time. Instantaneous communication with a God. And here's the thing. He can be instantaneous communicating with you and with me and with you and with people in China and with people in Russia and with people and with astronauts at the space station all at the same time. Science gets just a little glimpse, just a little flash in the pan about how that might even be possible. And it's been from the beginning. It would be so wrong to dismiss without prayer. That was a joke. How many of you got it? Here's the thing. We say it in conclusion. Let us pray. Do we understand? We're saying, we could say, let us instantaneously communicate with the Creator. Because that's what's happening. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. So wonderful, God. The more I see them, the more I understand, the more I search, God, the more it solidifies and accomplishes in me a great resolve, God. My walk in relationship with you, God, becoming more and more confident every day, God, and learning and realizing, God, the connection, God, and the ways, God, that are so far beyond even my own understanding that science in some way, shape, or form can somehow scratch the surface of. But we know by faith is so much greater, God, all the depths and the wonders, God, all the marvelous works that are of you, God. That we all have opportunity to pray, to instantaneously communicate with you, God, who has been and will always be. Oh, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you. In your precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.